But today we're continuing to look at this theme we've been talking about, the greatest gift. And we're opening up a verse that many of us will be familiar with and reflecting on the generosity that of the God that we serve. In John chapter 3, verse 16, here's what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. And so we are reflecting on what it means to serve a generous God who gave himself for us, gave everything of himself for us. And I believe that as we are formed into his image, God also calls us to be generous. Just so you know, next week, we're going to be talking about all about the generosity that God has towards us. And I can't wait to preach a message specifically for your friends and your family to hear more about the gospel next week. So next week, make sure you bring someone who needs to hear a message of hope. You with me on that one? But today, I want to start the message by talking about the fact that we are a part of a very generous community. And I am so excited to tell you that we've been able to give another gift to some people here in our city. If you've been a part of our church over the last couple of years, or even I'd say the last couple of months, you'll know that God's put it in our hearts as pastors and even prophesied it recently. We heard a word from a friend of ours about the sense that God was gonna put a building in our hands of our own that we're believing for. And we are so excited because we're believing and trusting God. And even I'm believing in 26 that God's gonna push forward opportunities for us to take hold of our own building. And so we even started a giving lane within our Kingdom Builders ministry called Here to Stay, where there are people in our church every month who are investing into getting ready for when we have our own building. They're investing into it now, it's so exciting. But we believe that God's called us to be a generous people. And so we heard that there was another church in our city who had the opportunity to buy the property that they were in. And so I said to the pastor, hey, I wanna come and film a video so we can do a fundraiser in our church to ask them to give. I might have told a small little lie to him in that moment, because the truth was, because we are a part of a generous community who faithfully give tithe and offerings into the house, we were able to give a gift for him there and then. And so we filmed this, and I want to show you the video here of myself with Pastor Jethro from Grace Chapel. Over to the screens. Maybe. Hey Freedom Church, we are in Grace Chapel in Woodstock. I'm here with Pastor Jethro, and they've got some exciting vision ahead of them. What are you guys up to?
Well, we got, for the first time literally in 26 years of being in this building, the opportunity to buy it. The owners want to sell it, and we want to stay. We believe really the ministries bring such a big impact in this community.
That's right.
And so 3.2 is what they're asking for, and that's what we're trusting God for.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen. And you, Freedom, you guys will know we are believing for our own building.
Yeah.
But we've even got our Kingdom Builders Here to Stay lane. We're believing that God is going to provide in the coming months or years a place for us to stay. But in the meantime, we want to be a generous church. We want to invest in what God is doing in Grace Chapel. And so we want to let you know today, bro, that we're going to be giving 40,000 rand into the ministry of Grace Chapel. We love you. We love what God's doing. We believe in you. And we're so grateful for what God has done through you here in Woodstock. And we're believing for so much more. We love you. Let's do it. We tricked you.
Come on, somebody. Let's go. I love it.
Hey, thank you for your generosity. We're able to bless other churches, bless other organizations in our city. I'm so excited. I love generosity. I love seeing gifts given. And again, for some of us, maybe it seems crazy. It's like, but I thought we were believing for our own place.
I think this is how the kingdom works. That if we try and hoard it for ourselves, then God can't give into a closed fist. It's when it's open that I get to keep on receiving. And so thank you for those of you who faithfully give tithe and offering. Because of you, we have been able to partner with them. And it was so incredible to see. He's sharing the news with his church this morning, but they have had a Giving Sunday last week. And already they have 640,000 rand given into their building fund. Believing for what God's going to do. It's amazing to see. I love generosity. I get so excited about it that I'm actually quite bad at keeping secrets when it comes. I'm that person who just wants to, like, we had our senior pastors here a couple of weeks ago, and Michaela, our worship leader, was trying to convince me, because Pastor Gary came to speak to our leaders, and she tried to convince me, keep it a secret, keep it a surprise, keep it a secret. And the first moment I had, I was like, everyone, I've got great news. I love it. I love being able to share things that are exciting. Generosity is exciting. It's so exciting to me. And one of the things that I think about generosity is giving brings joy. Like, generosity stirs joy in our hearts. And my belief is that today, God is going to do something of great joy in us. Something of great joy in us. But the joy, I want to talk a little bit about this kind of journey of joy and generosity that God takes us on. Because we're calling today Giving Sunday, but I think in equal measure today could be called Gratitude Sunday or Thanksgiving Sunday. Because really, I'm so grateful. Like, that's where my joy is coming from today. As Meg and I have spent the last couple of weeks looking back over 2025, there have been many challenges, many significant bumps in the road. But overall, I look back at a year where God has been faithful. I look back with so much thanksgiving at what he's done. And I want to show you a couple of thoughts today about the journey that God takes us on when it comes to gratitude and joy. And so we can bring this up, that the journey goes like this, that gratitude leads to worship. And worship, I think, often leads to generosity, and generosity leads to joy. The gratitude leads to worship. And I know I'm in a room with grateful people today. I know I'm in a room filled with people with thanksgiving in their hearts for what God has done. I don't know the particulars for all of you, but I do know that God's been good to you this year. I do know that he's been faithful to you this year. I know in this room we've got people who got engaged this year, ready to be married. I know people who have got married this year. I know people who have had babies this year. I know people who have been set free from some things this year. I know people who have been healed in this room this year. I know that we're in a room with people with thanksgiving in their hearts. And there's so much to be grateful for, I think, today. So much to be grateful for. But why do we not always start with gratitude? I think it's because of this, because gratitude begins when entitlement ends. Sure. That some of us, we go through life, we go through moments, and we almost, I don't know if you ever do this, maybe it's just me. I can spend hours praying for something, and then God shows up in a miracle. I spend moments thanking him for it, and 2 months later, I start complaining about it. God, I need the job. I need provision. Lord, would you come through? I'm praying. I'm fasting. I'm interceding. God, I need to see breakthrough. He provides. God, thank you so much. It's amazing. 2 weeks in. Man, my boss is... Do we do this as humans? Yes. That somehow we feel entitled to the things given to us. But actually, where does gratitude start? It starts when entitlement ends. When I realize, we talked a bit about this last week, that I say, all of this, any good thing that God's given to me, it's not mine anyways. It's all his. It's all his. That I'm just a steward of the things that he's given to me. I was thinking even about this verse from the Psalms. Psalm 116 and verse 12, it says this: what shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? What shall I return? I think there's only one reasonable answer to this question. And the only reasonable answer is my worship. And so when gratitude stirs in my heart and I say, what can I do, God? Like, what have you, he's done so much for me. He's brought me to this point. There's so many ways in which he's blessed me. What can I do? And there's only one reasonable answer, and it's worship. That's a reasonable response for what he's done for me. And we see this throughout the scripture. I shared about her story last week, but I'm moved this week thinking about the story of Mary when she brings this expensive perfume, a year's wages. And Lazarus has been raised from the dead, and she's got so much gratitude in her heart because Jesus raised her brother up from death to life. And she's overwhelmed with gratitude, and her reasonable response is worship. She takes this, it's radical worship, by the way. It's undignified worship. It's worship that would not be advised. It's over the top. But she takes this perfume, she pours it on Jesus' feet, and then she takes her hair and she washes the feet of the Savior, anointing him and preparing him for burial. She worships Jesus in an extravagant way. But the interesting thing about the kind of worship that Mary steps into, it was not a light worship. It wasn't a cheap worship. It was actually a very expensive worship. It was a very expensive worship. A year's salary. See, worship, oftentimes there is a financial worship that we see in the scriptures. Thinking about far before the law of Moses comes, Abraham is stirred and he worships the Lord with a tenth of what he gets and gives to Melchizedek the priest, and he worships the Lord with the tenth of his income. I was even thinking about when the people got built the temple. I don't have it on the screens, but let me read to you in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This is David. He says, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willing your people who are, sorry, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. See, they're building the temple of God. And they start giving. It goes on in verse 20. And then David said to the whole assembly, praise the Lord your God. So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed down, prostrating themselves before the Lord and the king. So they bring their financial worship, and then they give of their singing and their praising in worships. There's something about, throughout the scriptures, this aspect of, man, God's been so good. I want to respond with worship. I want to respond with a reasonable response is worship. And it's often an undignified worship that leads to generosity. I mean, you think of someone like Zacchaeus. What does Zacchaeus do? He encounters Jesus. Jesus ministers to him, speaks into his life. And what's Zacchaeus' first thought about how his life needs to change from here? He goes, I need to be generous. What's a reasonable response? It's generosity. For those of you unfamiliar with the story, Zacchaeus turns to the crowds and to Jesus after Jesus has ministered to him. He's a man who's cheated people from their money because he was a tax collector in that context. He's scraping some off the top for himself. And what does Zacchaeus do? He says, for anyone I've cheated, I will give them four times more than I ever took. His response to gratitude was generosity. He worshipped and then he was generous. There's something I want to stir in our hearts today, family, about gratitude. Because when that happens, it leads to great joy. Amen. Come on. Can I tell you something? I've never regretted a single rand that I've given. Never. Whether that's into church, whether that's to a friend, whether that's to someone in a situation of need, I'm not sat at home with my spreadsheet counting how much I've. Why? Because it's there's such joy in my heart to respond in generosity. So at this time of year, we have an annual rhythm of generosity. And this is a moment for us today where we can look back and reflect on 2025 and say, has the Lord not been faithful to us? Has he not been good to us? He's changed us. He's saved us. He's healed us. He set us free. The Lord has built in this place a church of people, a nomadic people moving from venue to venue, but he's built himself a church, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what he's done. I'm grateful for what he's doing. And today, as we reflect on gratitude, I want to share one more story before we head to a moment when we're going to respond in faith. And it's a story from Luke chapter 17. And I want to read this story to you because for me, as I was praying and thinking about the message today of gratitude in our hearts and thanksgiving in our hearts, there is this one story that brings a caution that I wanted to share with you because it is challenging to me. Luke 17. And we're going to read from verses 11 to 19. If we bring it up, it says, this is talking of Jesus. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? Just ask the person next to you, "Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." I think Jesus, through this story, provides for us an opportunity to reflect on the two types of postures that we can have when God moves for us. When God does miracles in our lives, when God provides, when he heals, when he restores. I'm not saying today that maybe everything is perfect for you. It's certainly not for me. I'm not saying maybe today that you've seen all of the areas of breakthrough, because I certainly haven't. But here's what I have seen. I've seen God move this year. I've seen him move. I've seen him be faithful this year. And today, I am so excited to come and thank God with my financial worship. A reasonable response. And so we're about to go into this moment. And I want to just talk you through what this moment is going to be. You'll see on your seat today that there was a card given. One side it says Giving Sunday Pledge Form. But I want you to look at the other side as well. I'm going to talk more about this side in a moment. But we're going to go into a time when there's going to be a song that's we're going to sing. And it's the song we just sang. "You've Been So Good to Me." And as we sing that song, I'd encourage you for a moment to just stay sat where you are. Because today is an opportunity for you to come and watch your church give. But the first thing we're going to give is not finance, it's faith. And as we do this today, I want to encourage you to reflect on 3 thoughts. And we're going to bring them up one at a time on the screen. But the first thought is this. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me in 2025. What's he done for you this year? What's the Lord done? Just start, it's not, start thinking about it. How's he moved in your life? How's he moved in your family? How's he been faithful? What's he done for you this year? As I said earlier, I know I'm looking in a room filled with people where God has moved this year. What's he done in your life, in your family, in your friends, in your community, in your small group? What's the Lord done this year? So that's the first question I want you, or first thought I want you to chew on. Come from a posture of gratitude today. Not from a place of entitlement, but from a place of gratitude. Secondly, I want to encourage you to think about this. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in our church in 2025. As we come today, I want us to look back and see what the Lord's done for us, because he's been faithful. I was just even noting down just a couple of the things that I've seen him do this year. I've seen people healed, physically healed this year in this room. I've seen God set people free this year in our church. I've seen a whole bunch of people who've got engaged this year. I've seen babies born. I've seen leaders raised in our leadership night school context and elsewhere. I've seen men formed in the barbarian way this year. I've seen women who have been healed and restored this year. I've seen teenagers called up as we've launched our youth ministry. I've seen a growing worship team. I've seen a marriage weekend that saved marriages. I've seen more people reached as we went to two services. I've seen over 85 people give their lives to Jesus in our church this year. We've seen some things this year, church family. God's been faithful. He's been building this church. In the middle of 2023, this thing started as a dream. Now we're here. God's been faithful. God's been faithful. He's been faithful. So think, what's he done for us? Finally, in advance, we're going to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do in 2026. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do in 2026. And so as we begin to sing this song, the first place I want you to go is to this side. And it says, what are you believing for in 2026? If you're watching online today, you can go freedomcapetown.co.za/giving-sunday. Giving-sunday. And if you go there, you can go through the same exercise right now. You can start to reflect on what are you believing for in 2026. And I want to encourage every person in the room. Maybe you're an atheist in the room today. You're agnostic. You're not even sure what you believe. I still think that God wants to bless your life if you just write down something. Maybe you say today, I'm not even sure if God's real. I'd like to find out in 26. Great. I want to encourage every person to write something down. And maybe you already know what you're believing for. Maybe it's already stirred in your heart what you're believing for in 26. As we start to sing, I want to encourage you, write it down. What are you believing for?